12:06, first up this hour, reporters were among the first responders on December 6th, 1917, the date of the Halifax explosion, the explosion that leveled much of North End Halifax and killed as many as 2,000 people. Writer Michael Dupuy is putting together a book about those journalists, and he's hoping that some of you listening this afternoon might be able to help him out. He joined us on the phone this afternoon from his home on the other coast, out there in Victoria, British Columbia. And we say good afternoon. Actually, it should be good morning because it's only 8 o'clock in the morning where Michael is. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing fine, Rick. Good afternoon.
How you doing, sir? I mentioned that already. What's the weather like in Victoria today?
Well, it's overcast, but probably around 6 or 7. No snow. No evidence of snow whatsoever.
No snow at all this winter?
No. Well, we've had a little dusting on the outskirts, but no, we live in Esquimo.
Yeah, yeah.
And near the naval base. And no, we haven't seen snow.
Yeah, lucky you.
I know.
We've seen lots of it.
I know.
Tell me why you're doing this. Why this book about, again, reporters or journalists who covered the explosion?
Well, it started, I did some writing about the Titanic event and discovered that there were two journalists sent to cover, two Canadian journalists sent to cover, among many others, to that event. And then I found out that they were also sent to cover the Halifax explosion. So that got me curious. I thought, well, if there were two, there must have been more. And then what about the local Halifax journalists who not only were reporters, but they were eyewitnesses? So I started learning about them, and then I realized that, we had some American reporters who must have come up from Boston with the relief train. So in the end, I was able to find nearly two dozen reporters, identifying most of them. But there are some that I don't have complete information on, and that's what I'm hoping that descendants, especially in the Halifax and in the Nova Scotia area, might be able to come forward with some stories and pictures.
Well, it, again, I'm sure that you'll get lots of reaction because it's been, you know, we've talked about the explosion on many occasions. In fact, I'll give you the name of a Halifax historian who's written a couple of books about the explosion and might be able to help you out as well. But I want to hear about some of these journalists. One apparently was on the Harbor Ferry when the explosion happened. Chronicle Herald or Chronicle reporter May O'Regan.
Yes, Mary O'Regan lived in Dartmouth, and she was a columnist for the Chronicle. We know that her sister Teresa was on the ferry. It left the Dartmouth side at 9, and was sort of mid crossing when the explosion happened, about 5 minutes after 9. Her sister was near the window on the ferry and had a little bit of a facial scar, but we don't know where her sister was. She may have still been in Dartmouth. She may have been at the Chronicle office on Granville Street. We're not sure. So I'm kind of curious to see if we can find a descendant who knows the story, and so we can kind of fill in the blanks with her part in the whole event.
Before I talk about some of the other journalists, have you been able to track down some of the articles that these reporters have written back in those days?
I have all of them. I have all of the dispatches that the two dozen reporters wrote. There are a handful that I'm not sure of their identity, but that gradually I'm finding who they are. Most of the dispatches, almost all, I've been able to obtain through archives on microfilm and various other sources. And they are just incredibly evocative. They're relenting. They told both they gave the news as journalists, but they also gave the facts, which were very helpful not only to people in Halifax, Nova Scotia, but to across the country, because there were over 5,000 military people in Halifax at the time, and their relatives were spread out through Canada.
And we should point out that back in 1917, there was no radio, no television, so it was all about newspapers, right?
It really, newspapers and magazines, but the newspapers were the principal source of information.
We had a Canadian Press Bureau here back in 1917, I guess, did we?
It was started in September of 1917, ironically just 3 months earlier, and if you go down Granville Street, at 92 Granville Street, you can still see the original Acadian Recorder building, and the CP office was in that building. They leased the wire, and it was a skeleton staff, no more than perhaps two to three people, including a 16-year-old messenger boy, and they played a very significant role.
I would assume that Canadian press would be the first means of getting that information out to the rest of the world.
It turns out it was the superintendent, James Hickey. When the concussion happened, the office wire went down, so he walked down the street and eventually found a single telegraph wire in the not in the Dennis building, but a little in another place, and he actually wired the news out to AP in New York at about 40 minutes after the explosion, which is pretty remarkable given the circumstances following the blast.
Yeah. Well, what about the 16-year-old CP messenger boy, Leo Hinch? And I read here that following the blast, he rushed from the Quantico building to his Richmond Street home, only to discover that his mother, two brothers, and three sisters had perished. Yeah, what happened to Leo after this day, you write, is still a mystery.
Well, actually, since I wrote that piece, somebody from Halifax has sent me an email suggesting that Leo ended up in Schenectady, New York.
Okay.
And he married a couple of years later when he was in his early 20s. And he died perhaps in his late 70s. Now, this is not absolutely confirmed, but it makes sense. The person that I've received information was born